It's hard to read the news these days without asking yourself, how did we get here? Fiasco is a history podcast from the co-creators of Slow Burn. In our first season, Bush v. Gore, we examine an unmistakable turning point in American politics, the 2000 election, which resulted in a high-stakes stalemate, ended with one of the most controversial rulings in Supreme Court history. So if you're trying to make sense of the present moment, check out Fiasco, Bush v. Gore. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Here's what we got on tap for this hour. We're going to talk about the coverage of Biden's age. We're going to have a big budget discussion that is almost undoubtedly going to offend pretty much every person listening right now. More on the Joe Biden stuff as far as his crimes go. People living in a world of make-believe, being an activist where you live. So much more coming up tonight on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. But you know what time it is. It is Monday. It is the start of the second hour on a Monday. Therefore, it is Medal of Honor Monday time. For you new listeners, we do this every Monday. Without exception, we do this at this same time every Monday, so you know where to be. What is it? We just take a Medal of Honor citation and we read it. When a man earns a Medal of Honor through acts of heroism, they do a write-up on what he does. It's called a citation. Everyone that's ever been earned is available for free, available on multiple websites online. And I say that to you because, once again, I want to encourage you, if you're so inclined, to do this in your life, maybe as a family, gather around, read one of these, talk about it. You'll be surprised. The interest your children take, you start talking about real men, heroes, their deeds, what happened there. These questions lead to other questions, which are all good questions. How about in front of your class? If you're a teacher, I know we have many who listen. Believe it or not, there are some incredible teachers out there who are not dirty commie scum. Great thing to do in your class. Nobody can complain. Who can complain? It's not political. Do it for your Sunday school, little league team. Heroism is something we should hold up in honor. Honor the men and their deeds and give the next generation something to aspire to. And we take email suggestions, remember, on top of love, hate, and death threats. We got all kinds of those. We take Medal of Honor suggestions if you have some personal relationship to one or any kind of affinity. Maybe you just like one. We take them. We have many, many, many. So if you've sent in suggestions, they didn't get ditched. There's just a backlog. We got this email. Jesse, I'm a recent retiree of the Navy. After 32 years of enlistment, I became institutionalized. Therefore, I am now a contractor working in naval shipbuilding. That's cool, though. I work on the newest class of ships, Expeditionary Sea Base, ESB. All these ships are used to launch missions for Marines and SEALs overseas without support from a friendly nation. They are named after Marines. All but the first ship, Chesty Puller, are named for Medal of Honor recipients. The ship I am working on will be commissioned on February 17th, 2024. Yes, that was 2 days ago. So I thought it appropriate to honor a John L. Canley on the eve of his namesake's commissioning in the Navy. And he says I can say his name. His name is Jay. And yes, thank you, Jay. Gunny Canley is a man to be admired.
Ready, aim, fire.
Honoring those who went above and beyond. It's Medal of Honor Monday.
For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty in action against the enemy while serving as Company Gunnery Sergeant, Company A, 1st Battalion, 1st Marines, 1st Marine Division, from the 31st of January to the 6th of December 1968 in the Republic of Vietnam. Company A fought off multiple vicious attacks as it rapidly moved along the highway toward Way City to relieve friendly forces that were surrounded by enemy forces. Despite being wounded in these engagements, Gunnery Sergeant Canley repeatedly rushed across fire-swept terrain to carry his wounded Marines to safety. After his commanding officer was severely wounded, Gunnery Sergeant Canley took command and led the company into Way City. At Way City, caught in a deadly crossfire from enemy machine gun positions, he set up a base of fire and maneuvered with a platoon in a flanking attack that eliminated several enemy positions. Retaining command of the company for 3 days, he led attacks against multiple enemy fortified positions while routinely braving enemy fire to carry wounded Marines to safety. On the 4th of February, he led a group of Marines into an enemy-occupied building in Way City. He moved into the open to draw fire, located the enemy, eliminated the threat, and expanded the company's hold on the building room by room. Gunnery Sergeant Canley then gained position above the enemy strong point and dropped in a large satchel charge that forced the enemy to withdraw. On the 6th of February, during a fierce firefight at a hospital compound, Gunnery Sergeant Canley twice scaled a wall in full view of the enemy to carry wounded Marines to safety. By his undaunted courage, selfless sacrifice, and unwavering devotion to duty, Gunnery Sergeant Canley reflected great credit upon himself and upheld the highest traditions of the Marine Corps and the United States Naval Service. How about that? And he lived, so we do not have to play taps for the man. I like it when we don't have to do that. Nevertheless, it is what it is. And I just want to reinforce something before we move on. And we're actually going to talk a lot about hard to hear budget stuff here in a minute, and being an activist and Biden stuff and whatever. But I want to emphasize to people, when you talk about Way City, it's spelled H-U-E in case you're wondering what you're looking at, Way City in Vietnam. Marines there were forced to do urban combat. Now, I know you're thinking, well, yeah, the Marines, they're tough as they come. Yeah, Marines are very tough and obviously near and dear to my heart. But urban warfare is totally different, totally night and day different than other kinds of warfare. It just presents an entirely new list of challenges when you are trying to attack a building that is held by an enemy. There are so many, and I've told you before, I'm not going to go over the story again about the training we had to get and how badly we got our teeth kicked in when we first started urban warfare training. You think, I'm big and tough and I know how to handle things. I understand fire and maneuver. And I understand I have to shoot, move, and communicate. And you understand all these basic things as a grunt. That's what we were taught as grunts. And then you walk into a building that's held by the enemy and you just get slaughtered because it takes the highest level of training, specialized training, to clear rooms, hallways, stairwells are virtually impossible. So high speed guys I know have told me privately, Jesse, I don't care who it is, Delta, doesn't matter. There's no tactical way to clear a stairwell. It doesn't exist unless you can bomb the building to the ground. If you have to tactically clear one, you're all puckered up, if you will. These Marines in Way City, what the Marines did in Way City, it's one of the more underrated histories of the Marine Corps because, yes, they were a bunch of Marines and they were tough and they were fighters and all those things. They were not urban warfare trained. It was one of those things where, hey, there's Way City. The enemy has it. Go get it back. And a lot of Marines died and were wounded in the taking back of Way City. Just because it's so hard to fight house to house. If you had a normal house, 2 or 3 bedroom house, let's say a 3 bedroom house, and you had to clear it, and there was an enemy in there, let's say 2 or 3 guys, and they were armed, and they knew you were coming, you would take serious casualties unless you were trained with how to take those guys out of that building. You may get them in the end, I promise.
more of you will die than they will die. That's one house. Now let's make that a big building. Here's a five-story building. Go clear it. Oh, wait, you want to make urban warfare even worse? On top of all the floors and they're shooting down, they're in the halls, they're in the stairs. Now there's a five-story building to its right and a five-story building to its left. By the way, there are enemies in those. They're on the roof. They're in the windows. They're throwing grenades, Molotov cocktails. They're shooting down on you while you're trying to get into the building. Are you trying to understand the nightmare that is urban warfare? You don't believe me? Go look at some inside accounts of what Israel is going through right now in Gaza. It's exactly the way I warned you it would be. Yes, they're winning. They're kicking the crap out of them. They are taking heavy casualties. They're losing armor. They're losing men. You can't clear out an urban area from an armed enemy without dying. It's very, very difficult. And the Marines went into Way City and they did it. And credit to them. All right? All right. We're about to have a hard talk about our budget situation, what has to be done to save life as we know it here in the country. And retirement is going to come up. It is. It's going to be uncomfortable, right? I'm warning you right now, might be time to turn off the radio. Before you turn off the radio, might want to do something about your retirement. I tell you about Done For You Real Estate because I never have to worry about getting that phone call, that email of, Jesse, you told me to call these guys and they treated me poorly. I have email after email after email of people who have called Done For You Real Estate. And even if you don't end up using them, the wonderful experiences you have, what do? Well, they take normal people, not millionaires, normal people, and they get them started in real estate investing. And you'll start small. And they'll find a property for you, and they'll get the financing. They'll handle the closing process. They do all that, but you'll start small. And then, because they know what they're doing, it'll build. And then build. And then build. And then maybe one day, you won't have to rely on the government that blew all your money. Done For You Real Estate is your path to that kind of freedom. Get a hold of them and find out what they can do. Go to doneforyoujesse.com. Doneforyoujesse.com. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, playing Jewish producer Chris's theme song here on a Monday. All right. Let's get offensive. And I warned you this show is going to be hard to hear.
I want you to understand something. If what I'm about to say offends you, I'm actually not going to say what I normally say. I'm not going to tell you to turn the channel or whatever or move on. I'm really not. If what I'm about to say you find hurtful and personally offensive, I want you to know it's okay and I understand how you feel. And you know me, I'm a jerk. I wouldn't say that unless I really meant it. If you're offended and hurt by what I'm about to say, I understand it. If you feel the need to never listen again, obviously it's not what we want. Love you. But I understand that as well. And no hard feelings. If you want to email me and scream at me, you are also welcome to do that. Love, hate, death threats, how offended you are, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. All right? jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Here we go. The United States government's budget must be slashed in order to save our way of life. Which part of the budget? Every single part, including the parts you may love, including the parts you may rely on, although I'm not saying, you know, just yank it away from people. Whether we phase it, obviously you have to phase these things and do it smartly. But hear me out once again. Every part of the budget, including the parts you love, must be slashed to save the country. All of them.
But Jesse, not the military. I was in the army for 30.
Buddy, I understand. I want a strong military too. The military must be slashed. But Jesse, not Social Security. I rely on that. I understand you rely on it. I understand you pay into it. I don't want anyone to take a dime away from you. I want to emphasize that. I don't want you to starve. I don't want you to go broke. I don't want you to do any of those things. Social Security must be slashed to save the country. Well, Jesse, okay, all that's fine, but not Medicare. I rely on Medicare. I paid into it. I understand that you rely on it. I understand you're not some welfare queen. I understand you paid into it. I don't want anyone to take away your medical care. Medicare must be slashed to save the country. Jesse, what about transportation? We need new bridges. What about a veteran? Nope, I understand. I get it. New roads are important. Bridges are important. All this stuff, everything in the budget is important. It must be slashed to save the country. You cannot exist on trillion-dollar deficits without end. The end is coming. And now let's, before we go into the details of all that and why everyone's so mad at me, let's talk about what the stakes are here. I think that's what a lot of people don't seem to understand. What do I mean by the end? What does it mean by the end? What's a good way I can put this? Here's one. We have poverty here in America, and I'm not dismissing that. We do. You've heard me talk about it a lot, especially the urban poor and how awful that their standard of living is. I know we have poverty here in America. But you realize that our poorest people in America, that they live almost always in an apartment or house that has heating and cooling. Did you know that? Running water, a refrigerator. That's obviously, maybe you're even scoffing at that. A refrigerator. Well, yeah, of course. You understand that I was just in, where the heck were we? I forget which city we were in. It may have been Brussels. It might have been Brussels. We were passing through. We were taking a train through it during our Christmas vacation thing. Don't quote me on the Brussels thing. For some reason, I feel like I might be wrong about that. But I think it was Brussels, and that they had shanty towns outside of it. What were the shanty towns? Well, we've had them in America before during the Great Depression. When you got poor enough, because the country itself didn't have the financial power, the power of its currency, the way America does, well, there's no floor. There's no apartment with a refrigerator waiting for you. Hey, best of luck. Hopefully you can scrape up some sheet metal and go find a way to keep the rain off of your head. Enjoy that tiny little 10 by 10 sheet metal shanty with you and your family of four. That's how people around the world live today. We as Americans have a standard of living, and we have no concept how unique it is, and we don't understand why it is at all. This government is allowed to print and deficit spend without end because of the strength of the dollar. The strength of the dollar keeps the dollar as the world's reserve currency. That is coming to an end. No, it will not be tomorrow. I'm not trying to scare you to death, but it is coming to an end. What that means is everyone's standard of living, this includes wealthy people who are listening, everyone's standard of living will be radically changed. Let's talk a little bit more about that next.
Jesse Kelly returns. Yeah. Next.
In the aftermath of a transformative election like the one we just had, it's hard to read the news without asking yourself every 5 seconds, how did we get here? That's exactly what we're always trying to figure out on Fiasco, a history podcast from the co-creators of Slow Burn. In our first season, Bush v. Gore, we examine an unmistakable turning point in American politics, the 2000 election, which came down to a recount in Florida and ended with one of the most controversial rulings in Supreme Court history. In many ways, it's the beginning of the story we're living through right now. So if you're trying to make sense of the present moment, check out Fiasco, Bush v. Gore, and find out how a statistical tie in the Florida vote count put the nation into an unprecedented holding pattern, during which American voters waited with bated breath to find out whether Al Gore or George W. Bush would be the next president of the United States. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. We'll get to all the Biden stuff here in a few. I'm just going over something about our budget and what has to be done and how we have to slash everything. We are running up $1 trillion in debt every 3 months now. Every 3 months. What was happening slowly for the past 30, 40 years has accelerated at a pace that I will definitely feel in my lifetime. And depending on your age, you almost undoubtedly will too. That something is a debt crisis. During a debt crisis, the international community will begin downgrading our credit rating, not just in small ways, which they've done before, in gigantic ways. What that will do is that will jack the interest up on the debt. The interest on the debt that has already overtaken our military spending. This will prompt Washington, D.C. to A, raise taxes, B, print even more money, spend even more money. And eventually what will happen is the world will move away from the dollar. The only reason the United States of America is allowed to run up $1 trillion deficits. The only reason this world exists at all is because the world, when they trade goods back and forth, they have used the dollar. The world has done that because the dollar has always been strong and reliable. The dollar is down 20% in the last few years. That time is disappearing. COVID lockdowns accelerated the timetable on this. Decades, it got moved up. Once the world moves off the dollar as the reserve currency, then this phasing thing I'm talking about how we have to slash this and slash that from the budget, it's no more a, hey, should we phase this in? Hey, can we make sure these people are taken care of while slowly phasing it out? Those options go away entirely. Then the Social Security check simply doesn't show up in the mail anymore. During austerity, emergency times, debt crisis, that's when you show up at the hospital and they say, sorry, we're not accepting Medicare anymore. The money's gone. So allow me to say something I've said many times before. I'm not Johnny come lately to this. We cannot save the United States of America without cuts to everything. Everything, including the thing you love and or rely on. Military, yep, got to be cut. Medicare, yep, got to be cut. Social Security, yep, got to be cut. And let me clarify something. Chris, would you go ahead and get those ads ready? Maybe you're angry right now and you're tempted to email me and tell me that I'm just doing this for outrage or something like that. Understand something. Don't do a different argument than the one I'm doing. Meaning, I'm telling you that the house is on fire. The house is on fire. We're both standing in front of the house, and I turn to you and I say, hey, the house is on fire. Don't then turn to me and say, it can't be. My stuff is in there. I understand your stuff's in there. That's not what I said at all. I understand this is horrible and awful, and it's wrong. I understand it. Don't use that as an argument because that doesn't refute anything I just said. I know this all sucks. It's awful what these politicians have done. I know. Nevertheless, I'm not going to stop saying what is true. I said it. This is 11 years ago. I lost the congressional race because of this stance specifically that I'm taking on the radio. That's how unpopular I know it is. Nevertheless, the stance remains. Would you like to hear why I lost the congressional race by 4,000 votes? Chris, please take it away with the ads that were running against me 11 years ago.
I'm Noel Hatfield from Tucson, Arizona. I work in the construction business. I got my first construction job when I was 15 years old. Been paying into Medicare every paycheck since then for over the last 37 plus years. Jesse Kelly said that over time he's going to get rid of Medicare. I don't think it's right for Jesse Kelly and people to decide that I don't get my Medicare that I've been paying for.
The Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee is responsible.
Yeah, that was the Medicare one. And I want to be honest here. Very effective. I had multiple older Republicans, multiple, tell me and members of my staff that they voted for my Democrat opponent because of these ads. I rely on my Medicare. Jesse's going to take it away. Chris, please play another one. Oh, there are many. I could do this all show. Please play another one. By the way, it wasn't 11 years. This was 15 years ago. Go ahead, Chris.
Jesse Kelly listening to you? Was Jesse Kelly listening to you when he said on Social Security, I'd love to eliminate the program? Jesse Kelly said he would work to eliminate Medicare over time. Was he listening to you then? How about when Jesse Kelly said at the same time he'd cut taxes in half for millionaires? Is Jesse Kelly listening to you? Just listen to Jesse Kelly. The Democratic
Congressional Medicare, Medicaid, 28% of the budget. Social Security, 25% of the budget. Defense, Homeland Security, 16% of the budget. Veterans, 4, transportation, 4, food and ag, 4, education, 3, international affairs, 2, so on and so forth. Now, when you have this conversation, people will scream back at you, well, why don't we cut foreign aid first? You don't understand. Yes, I agree. Yes. We should cut welfare for, yes, I agree. Cut welfare. Yes, not at all. What your opinion is or my opinion on this, it doesn't matter. Our opinions don't matter. If you're angry with me, it doesn't matter. If I'm angry with you, it doesn't matter. If I say cut it and you say don't, it doesn't matter. It will come. It will come either in a more gradual way so we aren't yanking the rug out from people who rely on this, and maybe that's you, or it will come all at once, and then you're in that shanty town. You cannot save the United States of America and preserve Social Security, Medicare, and the military exactly as they are. It's not humanly possible. If you cut every penny out of every other part of the budget of this country, it still wouldn't cut the budget in half. It cannot be done. And this is these are the emails I get, and this is why we're having this conversation, because it's a hard conversation people clearly need to hear. And who are you, you piece of beep, that you don't believe people deserve the money back they paid into? You're a piece of garbage. Why don't you tell them to get the $174,000 back from the Trump-looking party, the dictator? Beep you, you sorry traitorous piece of beep. Oh, I could go on. It's email after email from Republican and Democrats screaming at me. You keep screaming at me that your stuff is inside of the burning house, as if I'm the one who did this, or I'm the one who put us in this situation. I have not done this. Democrats and Republicans have done this. And, to be honest, the American people have done this as well. Do you want to know why nobody, no Democrat or Republican elected official will ever bring up the things that I've said? Because they would lose their seat in Congress. Because all you have to do is bring these things up. That's right, Chris. It's the third rail of politics. If you even suggest a tiny reform, people will flock to the polls to vote against you. That's the truth. And so I understand there are a million offended people right now. Maybe you've already turned off the radio. Maybe you're screaming at me about what a mean, evil jerk I am. Maybe you're even trying the emotional blackmail thing. People love to do that. It's really wild how effective that is on people. Just know it's never effective on me. I've had people screaming at me all weekend long. You're a ghoul. You want old people to die. I guess my grandma should die. I guess you want... That's not effective on me. Try that on your mother. That doesn't work on me at all. I'm here telling you the reality. None of the emotional arguments you make at me change the United States budget and the disaster that is coming. Now, I understand these things are not going to pass. I understand they're not going to come. We won't do any cuts. There won't be any adjustments. But understand that when the day comes that it all gets slashed and burned, understand that I was actually the nice guy who was trying to stop it. I'm trying to help, not hurt. Yell at me all you want. I didn't start the fire. It was always burning since the world's been turning. What, Chris? What? What? I'm sorry. When you have an opportunity to quote Billy Joel, you quote Billy Joel. All right, let's make fun of Joe Biden next. Now that everyone's mad. Before we make fun of Papa Joe, old stuttering Joe. Let's go to sleep at night knowing that, yes, the dollar may be collapsing, but at least MyPillow was offering awesome things, 50% off. So even if the dollar's worth half of what it is now, you can still get an entire MyPillow project. Product. MyPillow 2.0s, temperature regulating thread, 50% off right now. The brand new flannel sheets, honestly, I love MyPillow pillows, big fan. My wife loves their jammies. We even love their dog beds. Fred has one of their dog beds. The MyPillow flannel sheets that are 50% off right now, they might be my favorite thing MyPillow's ever done. But whatever you're looking for, towel sets, mattresses, mattress toppers, everything's free shipping this month. Free shipping. MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener special square and use the promo code Jesse. Take advantage of the blowout sales when they get here. Or call them 800-845-0544. We'll be back.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Chris, turn that off. Turn that off. I don't know what that was, but don't ever play that version of We Didn't Start the Fire on the show ever again. How dare you, sir? How dare you? Don't ever besmirch the name of Billy Joel again. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I'm glad we got that whole offensive conversation out of the way. I can just see what my email is going to look like tomorrow morning. Fire away, though. It's fine. I'm a big boy. I can take it. Now, let's get to this. Communism, it requires people to die, and it requires people to lie. And I didn't actually mean for that to rhyme, but once again, I nailed that pretty well. But listen, it's all based on lies and death. Every problem for the communist can be solved one of two ways, and oftentimes both ways. A lot of people need to die, or we simply have to lie. Chris, do me a favor. Sorry to do this last minute. Pull up that audio. We've played it a couple times of the guy, Dennis Meadows. I'm almost positive is his name. He's a communist and he's a professor and he's actually talking about climate change and a solution for this. And I'm going to play this a lot more than I have been on the show. I know I've played it before and I'm going to play it for you, not because I necessarily want you to hate this dirty commie, even though I do or anything like that. It's long. I'm going to play it for you because it really, really sums up how these people think. It sums up how they think about so many things. This is a little long. I might cut him off, but he's worried about climate change. He's one of these climate change guys. And you can hear very early on, he's almost honest about it. He knows that, well, what he wants is billions of people to die. That's what he wants. Billions of people to die. He believes he's the good guy in this situation. He's the good guy. He knows what the world needs. And in order to solve this problem, he's decided there's a problem. In order to solve the problem, that a billion people, whatever, pick your number, 5 billion, it just depends on which genocidal monster you talk to, billions of people have to die. Now, keep in mind, this death, it's always awful. It's when you start taking away people's food supplies, power, transportation, people die in really, really terrible ways. I've encouraged you before, if you're old enough, kids, just make sure you talk to your parents before you look into this. Go read about various starvation events from famines or communist caused ones like a Holodomor. Mass starvation is a really, really, it's awful. Just reading about it turns my stomach and I have a tough stomach. But I want you to listen to this to understand the communist feels this way about every problem. Every problem is simply one that can be solved by lies and death.
In one way or another, we are globally, we are so far above the population and the consumption levels, which can be supported by this planet, that I know in one way or another, it's going to come back down. So I don't hope to avoid that. I hope that it can occur in a civil way. I mean civil in a special way. Peaceful. Mm. Peace doesn't mean that everybody's happy. But it means that conflict isn't solved through violence, through force, but rather in other ways. And so that's what I hope for.
Pause it. You can continue on in a second, but let's focus on that one. Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of people have to die. And not everyone's going to be happy about that. I mean, I want all these deaths, you know, a billion people. I want it to be peaceful. I want it to be pretty nice. Not everyone's going to be happy, but I want it to be pretty nice. See, he included actually both things in that. Dies and lies. Death and lies. He needs a bunch of people to die. He wants it to be peaceful. He doesn't care if it's peaceful. He cares that you will blame him. He cares that you might think of him as the genocidal maniac he is. He doesn't care whether it's peaceful or not. Whether we have to starve a billion people to death, or we have to take them out in the desert and shoot them and bury them in mass graves, whatever the case may be, a billion people, 2 billion, 3 billion, billions of people have to die. He's honest about the death part. He's dishonest about the method. Go on, Chris.
The planet can support something like a billion people.
Lies.
Maybe 2 billion, depending on how much liberty and how much material consumption you want to have. If you want more liberty and more consumption, you have to have fewer people.
Okay, we got it for now. Remember, the solution, you see, there's a problem. The problem, according to Dennis Meadow, I'm just using him as an example. This is how all communists think. His problem, the one he's talking about, is, of course, climate change. Your gas stove, it's killing the polar bears, that kind of a thing. Okay, so that's the problem. The climate is changing. The solution, you need to die. And another thing is, you can't have all this freedom. You see, if you want to save the planet, then you have to give up your freedoms. You're not going to be able to eat anymore. Maybe you shouldn't be allowed to eat ever again, but you definitely shouldn't be able to eat whatever you want. You're not allowed to drive anymore. That freedom of movement, that has to go away. Otherwise, even more, do you want more people to die? You've got to die, or you've got to give up your freedom, but probably both. I love that soundbite. It's a soundbite we're going to play. I decided this weekend, I was actually thinking about it. It's one we're going to play more and more on the show, because it is so how these people think. The communist views every problem. And remember, all he sees are problems, because his is a religion of destruction. He's trying to tear down everything. He's trying to tear down the planet. Every problem is a problem that is solved if people would just die. If I could just kill this many people, if this many people would just die, then this problem would go away. It's why they love abortion so much. Oh, there's a problem of poverty, or a problem here, or a problem there. You just want to go get drunk on spring break? Just kill it. Everything's just a problem that can be solved with death and lies. Now, speaking of those lies, let's talk about the Biden White House. Next.
It's hard to read the news these days without asking yourself, how did we get here? Fiasco is a history podcast from the co-creators of Slow Burn. In our first season, Bush v. Gore, we examine an unmistakable turning point in American politics, the 2000 election, which resulted in a high-stakes stalemate and ended with one of the most controversial rulings in Supreme Court history. So if you're trying to make sense of the present moment, check out Fiasco, Bush v. Gore. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.